Hello. You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon in downtown beautiful Vashon, Washington. We're at 101.9 FMLP on your radio station or on the web. Hi, I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host with Stirring the Pot today. And co-hosting with me is the lovely Celine Demir.
Well, hello, hello.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm cold.
It's a little chilly today. Yeah, it is. It really is.
And we have our trusty sidekick at the board today. Miss Heidi Skrypek is going to make sure that all the technical things go well today. Hi, Heidi.
Good afternoon.
Hi, it's me.
What voice was that?
Good afternoon.
I'm going to have to figure out a name for that voice.
That's a good voice. That's a really good voice. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of catching up to do today. And I don't know about all of you, but I've just been really thinking about the holiday season. You know, we just got over Thanksgiving and it was so fabulous. It was, I think, one of the best Thanksgivings I've ever had. And interestingly enough, a lot of the talk around the Thanksgiving table was of Christmas and what we're going to do and what are we planning and how's it going to go and what are we eating and
what are we cooking?
What are we cooking? Who's going to come? How's it going to be? And you know, then the day after, many people put up their tree. Did you guys put up a tree? Are you putting up a tree?
We sure did.
Did you do it right after Thanksgiving?
So we put the tree up, no lights and no decorations until the cats get it out of their systems to play with the tree.
Oh.
So it
was, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, so it was without any decorations or lights for a couple of days so that both of our cats and our new little kitten played around.
All
and
now fun.
We put the lights and then played more and now we have the decorations.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I haven't put mine up yet and I don't know. I will one of these days. I'm thinking probably this weekend I'll do it. But it's an exciting time of year. And, you know, we're busy. We're wrapping packages and sending things off or receiving things and running around town. And I forgot this and I forgot that. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot today about holidays and traditions that aren't specifically to America or Vashon, but maybe more about the meaning of the season, which in my book is not a religious connotation at all. I'm very secular in that regard. And I love the holiday. I just love the whole lead up. Excuse me. I can't even talk.
Me too, Linda. Me too.
I know. I just, I love all the fol-de-rol around it, I think. And I always have. But I think it's important to reflect on the meaning of community when you are in a holiday season like this. And not everybody has a wonderful Christmas. And not everybody is really happy about it. So I just would encourage people to be gentle with each other right now. You know, there's some sorrow in our world. There's some, oh gosh, there's divorce and there's death and there's, there's, you know, first holidays without somebody. And, you know, so be gentle with each other and try to have patience and remember that we're all here to help each other get along. That's why we're here.
What a wonderful comment.
Thank you
for that reminder, Linda.
Yeah, it's just, it's important to me. Yeah. And then I'll stop talking or else I'll start crying. So
no crying allowed.
We're not going to do that today. you know, one of the things that I have always loved about Christmas is, of course, Santa Claus. Ever since I was a little kid, I can remember just, you know, every little kid. I don't have any special market on loving them, but did you know that Santa Claus, the jolly old round-bellied guy that we know now, was invented by an illustrator hired by Coca-Cola in the 1930s?
What?
Yes. The illustrator's name was Haddon, H-A-D-D-O-N, Sundblom, and I think he was Swedish. And Coca-Cola in the 30s hired him to help with their marketing of Coca-Cola products, and they wanted a I don't know. I couldn't figure out from the research I did, but I don't know that they said they wanted a Santa Claus, but they wanted a happy, jolly, kind of friendly-looking guy. And this is who he came up with. And if you look on the internet at Coca-Cola 1930 Santa Claus, there are just many, many, many illustrations that he had done. And then when you think about modern day and Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. how many advertisements have you seen of Coca-Colas that have the, you know, jolly old Saint Nick in them? It was their doing. And that's who we identify with. Wow.
I did not know that at all.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing. And then, you know, we had prior to that, we didn't have. Prior to that, though, was old Saint Nick. And he was tall and skinny and kind of foreboding looking. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Oh, no, I don't know that.
You don't know? Well, no. you weren't there. Yeah, you weren't there at that time. But anyway, that that's just a lot of interesting little trivia, I thought, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I've been thinking about, aside from that, I've been thinking about community and how special mm-hmm. Vashon is in that regard. There's a lot going on here, and I just wanted to make note of a couple of them. First of all, you can always go to vashonevents.org.
Oh, yes.
And Pete and Allison run a wonderful website that will tell you every little thing that's going on in town. And I'll just highlight a couple of my favorites. The holiday gingerbread houses at the Vashon Center for the Arts is an incredible display. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it this year. I go every year, but I haven't seen it this year.
I haven't seen it this year either. I'm going to go probably this weekend. But man, the gingerbread houses people make on this island are unbelievable. I mean, villages and ice skating ponds and bridges and
fairies.
Fairies are really good. They went all out. I saw photos, and this year's looks better than ever.
Does it? Really? Well, I've heard it's better than ever, and that there are more. And what a wonderful thing to do if you have out of town guests, or if you just want to spend a couple hours by yourself and go.
Yeah. I love the creativity people have.
I know.
I mean, it's
and they take it very seriously.
Yes.
Very
my kids were
it.
Never into gingerbread house making.
Yeah.
I was like, I always wanted it and I always ended up trying to put it together.
Yourself.
And then I was like, but I love looking at them. So I always go every year.
My granddaughter and I started making gingerbread houses when she was 2.
So,
you know, those were pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then as she got into her artistic person that she is, she made some beautiful things by the time she was in high school.
Wow.
We haven't done it in a few years. She's graduated from college and off on her own life now, you know. But that was a tradition I really loved. And I have chronological photographs of the years and all the gingerbread houses.
Oh, sweet.
None of which were anywhere near what happens at Vashon Center for the Arts.
She could level up.
She could do it. Yeah, she could. And then the other thing I really love is, you know, Mukai Gardens is having an online auction to raise funds, and that's on from December till December 21st. So you can just go to mukaifarmandgarden.org, M-U-K-A-I, farmandgarden.org, and there's a link to the auction items, and there's some very interesting things they're auctioning off as a fundraiser. And the last thing I'm going to tell you about is Vashon Repertory Theater's production of Humbug. I don't know if you know about this or not, but it's based on Dickens' Scrooge stories, and it is Alan Fitzpatrick, who is a well-known actor who lives in Seattle. He's been an actor, I think somebody said, for 50 years. And he's been on Broadway, and he's been everywhere. He's a fabulous actor. I saw this last year. And I have to admit, I went in thinking, how's one man going to do this big story? How's that going to work? And I was completely mesmerized. He does an incredible job. And actually, as I found out from Charlotte Tinkin, who is the artistic director for Vashon Rep, that's really how that started. Because when Dickens wrote the play, he didn't have an audience and he didn't have actors. He didn't have anybody. And he just went around to little pubs and taverns and read the play. And as he was reading the play out loud to the audience, he would act some of the parts. So this is very similar to that. And I'm saying you better go, because it's December 22nd at 7:30. And I guarantee you're going to walk out just feeling so good and so happy that you saw it, because it's an amazing production.
I got to put that on my list.
You do.
It sounds very interesting.
It's really, really good.
Those are great ideas. That Mukai auction is pretty epic. Lots of wines and ciders and food experiences.
Yeah. Mm. It's big.
Wow.
So, check that out.
Check that out, too.
Yeah. So, Christmas things going on. Celine, you went to the Christmas parade, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Last weekend.
Yes.
How was that?
It was so sweet. There was a lot of people this year.
Were there?
Yeah. I was actually, I thought, and then I heard that from others too, that there were a lot more people this year than we had last year. Mm-hmm. So it was very lovely. The parade was bigger, I thought. Mm. There was a lot more, parade participants, mm-hmm, and it was kind of fun and kind of seeing them and waving we had our Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. And then there were,
who was it this year?
I don't,
do you know?
I could so not far. Identify, and I looked at the photos and I couldn't tell who it was.
I
was Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, maybe it was the real deal.
Yeah. One and only.
Yeah. So it was very lovely, and they were singing, and there were lots of kids around. Fake snow happening. It was really,
oh, there was?
There was fake snow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Fake snow fun. From Island Queen and fake snow from Vashon Pharmacy. So it was like all over. The kids were just like,
I
trying
bet they
to
had
catch.
A ball with
it was
that.
So much fun to watch them.
Yeah, it's a great community event.
Yeah. It really is.
I was doing other things that night. I was helping with the production of the Laramie Project, which was at the same time, so I couldn't come to the parade, but I had to run downtown, and boy, everything was blocked off and people were laughing and happy and holding hands, and I couldn't get where I needed to go. But I did finally, and it was fine. And then did you go to the little market?
Yes, I did. It was very small, but it was so sweet, and mm-hmm. It felt sincere. There was a little Grinch, not little. We had a big Grinch with a little girl that was all dressed up.
There was a Grinch.
Yes. So I had Ida's picture taken with the Grinch. It was
good.
Cute. She goes like, really? And I'm like, yes, please. She lets me take her picture.
Yeah.
Must have been Stefan Moody. Because he's always got that epic.
Oh, maybe it was.
Grinch get up. No. I saw some photos.
I bet it was.
Yeah, I don't know who he was. You couldn't tell. Yeah.
Good. That's probably him.
Yeah, I could not tell because the mask was pretty good.
Did you go to the Jingle Bash? Anybody?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
No,
I
didn't.
Goodies.
I missed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was very, very good.
It was
good.
Crowded.
Oh, I heard it was really good.
I think these are getting more crowded and crowded, and I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Well, people, I think, after having been sequestered as long as we were, are finally starting to enjoy the holidays again and participate.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you see when they lit the tree? Were you there for the tree lighting?
Yes, we were all like clapping and singing.
That's
pretty
fun.
Lovely. It is always fun.
It's magical.
It's always fun. It's magical. They did a good job, I think. And
I think they did too.
It has really nice lights every evening. Mm-hmm. I love our little candy canes too. And
those are old as Methuselah.
I know. They get magically pure, and
every
I
year.
Love them. I whoever is making them, thank you. Putting them up, thank you.
Yeah, they're pretty cute.
They're
Chamber
so cute.
Chamber of Commerce, thank you.
It is Chamber of Commerce, that does that. Yeah.
So adorable.
So I don't know much about Christmas trees, except that it's thought that the tradition originated in Germany.
Oh, I did
in the
not
Middle
know
Ages.
That.
And and it was more like a community tree, and it was worshiping. It was a pagan kind of thing back then, and then it translated into the Christmas tree that we know now. And nobody knows for sure when it came to America, but there is some written documentation that in 1747 there was a German community in Pennsylvania who lit a community tree in the village square, which was not liked by the Christian community, and the mayor signed a thing that said it was illegal because it was pagan, so they couldn't do it anymore.
Oh no.
But obviously the tradition has survived, because we have them here. So, speaking of old fashioned, I know this is old fashioned and you're going to probably raise your eyebrows at me, but you'd be surprised at how kids are fascinated by old time radio. I was listening to some old-time radio with a couple of little kids recently, and they're very, not too little. I think they were like 8, 10, somewhere in there. But they're amazed that there's no picture, there's no real sound effects, there's no computer-generated graphics or anything for them to watch. But if you're sitting and listening, maybe making, doing Christmas cards or making cookies or decorating the tree, mm-hmm. and you have that radio show on in the background, you would just be surprised at how it encourages conversation and some kind of memory for the kids. Mm-hmm. So I can just tell you that all you have to do is go on YouTube and type in, you know, old time radio or just old time radio on the web. One of my favorites is otrcat.com, and it's particular music for, or radio for Christmas. Oh. And all the Christmas stories are on there, you know, so you can listen to the Christmas stories and you can hear Walt Disney read them and you can hear Jack Benny read them. And it's just kind of a fun thing to do on an afternoon when it's stormy and you're trapped in the house. So
I have to check that out because I did not know that at all, Linda.
Well, yeah. Now you do.
Now I do.
Yeah. And it'll be fun to listen to. Yeah. So, and then do you guys do, when you're decorating your tree, do you do the old fashioned stuff like the construction paper rings or cranberry strings
no
or
garlands.
Popcorn? No garlands. You don't do garlands. Do you do garlands?
Unless it's shiny or glittery.
No popcorn.
No popcorn. No popcorn. My kids did that when they were little, yeah, but we haven't been doing that.
I just was wondering. I was thinking about it the other day, and I don't know if people do that anymore. I don't, but I think some people do, and I think little kids in school
do. I think they still do it at schools, and it's always a fun activity at preschool, I think.
Mm, yeah. Because
that's when my kids were doing it, so yeah.
It's part of the Christmas thing.
Yeah. I remember we had a bunch of them.
We were talking a bit ago about community and some of the things I love about Vashon. I mean, really, our community is everything here. And surprisingly enough, at first look, you just sort of think we're a little island community, but we have a lot of influence from different cultures on this community, on this island.
We sure do.
And Celine told me a couple stories this week about a couple of friends of hers. And Selena, would you share those stories?
Absolutely.
Talk about your friend Naomi, and how about Rebecca?
Let's talk about Rebecca. Rebecca, some people know her as Bex. She's the owner of the Old Goats Home. She is the saint of the old goats, I call her. She is incredible with those goats. And I don't know if you know that she's from New Zealand.
I do.
That cute accent of hers, I love that.
It's really lovely.
Yeah, it is.
So I was asking her about her Christmas traditions and then what she continues to observe here too, just so that we, you know, like we could share here. And she says that she misses the summer Christmas that they have in New Zealand because they would be going to the beach.
On the beach,
yes.
I know.
They would play on the beach with the beach balls. They would have barbecue. And so it was a totally different experience.
So different for us to think about, isn't
right?
it?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. So she says that, and then we would wait until like 11:30 or midnight until it would get dark so we could see the Christmas lights on the homes. So, and then they would drive around and see the houses with the Christmas lights, and it's a totally different experience.
On a warm summer night.
On a warm summer night.
My mind is blown.
Isn't that interesting?
It's really interesting. Yeah. I have friends who live in Australia, same thing.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I was talking with Virginia from Sydney, and she said, oh, we just had a lovely Christmas. She said, we had spent so much time on the beach, and it was, you know, a barbecue. And I'm like, oh, wait, stop. It just doesn't work. Yeah. But for them, it's depressing to be in the cold.
Yeah.
So,
well, she still does some stuff.
Does she do some traditional?
Yes. So she said that she still maintains a special tradition that it's called the magic sleeping potion.
Oh.
And so she orders pottery, a mug from, since she's been moved to the United States, she's been ordering it from different parts of the United States for her kids.
Oh.
And then she would give them, serve them with Santa drinks, what she calls it. And then there's a little magic sleeping potion poem that she sent it to me.
Okay. Let's hear it.
All right. It's Christmas Eve, time for bed, but not an eye will close. too much excitement in the air to let you even doze. So make a magic potion to help you fall asleep. Then Santa and his helpers can down the chimney creep. Pour this cocoa in a mug and with hot water mix. Then drop in the magic bell and stir with a candy stick. Add a few marshmallow and sip it slowly down. Crawl into bed and snuggle in. The magic sleep will come around.
Oh, how sweet.
Isn't that the sweetest thing?
Does she get new mugs? Do they get a mug every year?
Yeah, is that, that's what she said.
Cute.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful
And she
idea.
Still does that now. So it's,
I love
I
that.
I think it's so sweet.
That's really sweet.
That's really sweet.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
VOV programming support is provided by Pandora's Box, Vashon Island's provider of quality pet foods at competitive prices. With over 100 years of combined knowledge and experience in pet care and pet nutrition, you'll find Pandora's Box on Vashon Highway, north of the main intersection.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hello back.
You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon. We've just been talking about some different ideas for Christmas from different cultures or different countries. And Celine, I remember you were telling me about your friend Greg,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to hear, yes. Everybody would want to hear what Greg's doing.
So I have a water taxi commuter friend group that I'm sure some of the people who take the water taxi, they realize how loud we are because we talk every morning and every afternoon.
Oh, God, it's Selena. Yes. Oh, my goodness. No.
It's Selena and her crew.
Sit over that side.
Yep.
Go upstairs.
I'm sure some people do that because we talk and we laugh and we make the water taxi commute fun.
Yeah. I've heard that people really can develop some good, solid relationships on the ferry.
Absolutely.
And that are lifelong friendships.
100%.
Yeah.
And
I think it's wonderful.
I made the really, really close friends through water taxi commuting.
Yeah. Yes. That's wonderful.
And Greg is our new addition to our group.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He's just started to commute, even though he's been in the island for a couple of years. He and his wife owns Vashon Peony Company.
Okay. I didn't know about Vashon Peony Company. Did you, Heidi?
Flowers?
Like flower peony.
Did I say it correctly? Yes, it's
yes,
the flower.
Let's watch. We'll make sure. Not piano. Peony.
No, peony.
And some people say peony up here. Yeah, I've noticed they say peony. Yeah. But I don't. I say peony.
Okay.
So number one, Basha has a peony company.
Yes.
Number two, Greg is on the water taxi.
Yes.
Okay.
And Greg owns the peony company.
Correct. It's on Vax Orchard.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, so Greg has a Puerto Rican background.
Okay.
So, and he loves food too. Mm-hmm. We talk about food a lot. And so he was telling me, so I asked him, it's like, so what do you do for, Christmas or holiday traditions? And he just recently went back east for Thanksgiving. And he said, every holiday we make empanadas and pernil. Did I say it right? Pernil, which is
the roasted pernil.
Pork.
Yeah, it's pork.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah, he was telling me how it was made, but they he loves making that with his family.
Is that in a banana leaf kind of thing or not?
Yes, he did say that. I think whatever is kind of originally leftover, there was like the pieces, and then it becomes a mush. And then that mush, they put it into banana leaves.
Yes.
They boil
and
it.
And then they boil it.
And then they freeze it. Mm-hmm. And then they cook it again. Or fry it, I think.
I think they fry it.
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness.
It's so good.
And then you should have seen his face when he was explaining how delicious it is. I mean, he was just literally drooling at 7 a.m. in the morning. It was quite funny.
So does he do that here?
I don't think he has made it in Vashon yet.
Yeah.
So hopefully he will. But we did tell him that let's have a little empanada cookout because years ago I had a college friend, Nancy, who was from Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
She and I had a empanada cookout because she was making empanadas from Guatemala, and I was making poacha, which is very similar to empanadas.
From Turkey.
From Turkey.
So tell me about those.
So the dough is made with yogurt, sunflower oil, baking powder, and flour.
Okay.
And then you just put your any kind of filling.
Is it a meat thing, or do you use sweet potatoes? Or
No, so most of the time people put feta cheese with Italian parsley mix.
Oh, or spinach maybe?
Or spinach. Some people like spinach more. And sometimes we put boiled potatoes in it with some spices and sometimes ground beef. Mm-hmm. So when we use the same ground beef that she used for empanada, so that we could kind of exchange a flavor. Mm-hmm. So I was telling that to Greg the other day, and then he goes like, "Okay, I guess we need to make a empanadas and poacha cookout." Yeah. So you guys both invited.
Wouldn't
you
that ladies. Be fun?
Sounds like a cook off and not a cook
out. A cook
like
off.
A competition. Okay, but well, I love it. No, it sounds fantastic.
Really fun. My first experience. Empanadas are something that a lot of cultures make something very similar. My first experience with empanadas was in San Antonio, Texas, and I'll never forget it, in 1971. And I was staying with a family down there at Christmas time, and they had a huge family, all of whom came over, and they made empanadas and tamales. And the empanadas that I fell in love with were sweet potato empanadas. So that was like a breakfast. It was like a sweet breakfast roll kind of empanada. Oh man, were they good. And then the the Latin families have such camaraderie in their family, and they're big and they're boisterous and they're happy and they're cooking. And I was just stunned. I come from a big family, but not like that. And when they were making tamales for Christmas, you would get together maybe 2 days before Christmas. And they had big 5-gallon, they're not buckets really, but they got a big lid on them. They're big 5-gallon pots. And they filled 4 or 5 of those with tamales. I mean, you cannot imagine the numbers of tamales. And they would take the green chili or the red chilies, the dried red chilies, and put those in the blender and then add some, I don't know what, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But blender after blender after blender to make the sauce that goes in the meat. Oh. And then I learned that commercial tamales are often very dough heavy. It's like corn stalk, not stalk, what do you call it? The corn thing.
Corn husk?
No, yes, it was husk, the husk, thank you. Yeah. On the corn husk is a thick layer of masa, but this particular family said, no, that's very American.
It's interesting.
Very thin, so that it's the insides and not the dough that you're tasting.
Oh.
So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
but
no.
I did.
We're talking about food.
Yeah, we're talking about food.
We're talking about food.
Well, I'm all up for an empanada cook-off.
All right.
We have a little
we'll
training.
Do a cook-off.
We could have a little bit of a training. And
I think it sounds wonderful.
I think it sounds like it would be a really good idea. Was there somebody else you were going to
tell? I have other commuter friends like Naomi. She celebrates Hanukkah.
Okay.
And so she makes latkes.
Oh,
latkes or latkes? What's the correct way of pronouncing it?
They're both acceptable.
They're both good.
Okay. I think she said latkes. And then every time I was reading it and hearing from others say latkes, and I'm like, is it me that make mispronouncing?
Perfect.
Well, when I was learning about it, I said latkes. So
people say that too.
Oh, do they?
Sure.
Oh,
see?
Well, okay.
All right, we're all correct then.
Yeah.
But anything with potatoes sounds delicious to me. But she says that she's been making latkes every Hanukkah and serves it with applesauce, and her son is coming over, so she's very excited.
Oh,
and then her other son's gonna come too, so they're gonna make latkes again for Hanukkah. So
has some wonderful foods.
I know.
I love kugel.
Ooh.
I remember. Do you know kugel? Have you had it?
I think she brought me once.
The noodly thing.
The noodly, yes.
It can either be sweet or savory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of course, with my incurable sweet tooth. Yes. I love the sweet one. And I do make it. I've made it at Christmas. So we have a Hanukkah Christmas dish, you know. But I have a friend, Eileen, who taught me about kugel maybe 30 years ago. I didn't know about it. And, you know, you can use whatever noodle you want to use and just boil it up and put some butter and some raisins and some cinnamon and sugar. And, you know, then you've got a sweet and you can do the savory as well. Yeah. I don't know how to do that one, but you can, you can do that one too.
You and your sweet.
I know.
You would love all the Turkish desserts with all those syrups.
Oh, of course I would.
Turkish dessert.
Of course I would. Well, you know, that comes from, I think, my Norwegian heritage. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing to be done about it.
Except to eat.
Except to eat.
There you go.
Well, you know, Scandinavian Christmas is pretty big deal. There's a lot
Tell me about it.
Well, there's just a lot of red and green and sparkly and food and sugar, you know, it's a pretty big celebration in the Scandinavian countries. And I had coffee the other day with my friend Lotta, who is from Sweden. And she was telling me about some of their Swedish traditions that they have. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but they have a Yule cat. Oh, no, she's talking about Iceland, too. And Iceland has a Yule cat, which is a giant, big, mean, terrible cat that is marauding through the streets, causing lots and lots of trouble. Remember Krampus from the Germans and that scary guy? Well, this cat is along those lines. And then there's also the Yule lads, which are the sons of two trolls in Sweden, or Iceland. I'm sorry, I keep saying Sweden. And they're a group of 13 young men who just raise all kinds of havoc all over town. They're mischief pranksters, and they steal or they harass the population. And, oh, they have lots of different descriptive names. But so there's that kind of stuff they do.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about food from Sweden, because that's where she's from. She's a retired professor of Scandinavian literature at University of Washington. And so she's a foodie as well. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about food. And her favorite is smorgasbord, you know. And do you know that term, Celine?
No, I don't know.
It is smor, smorgasbord, smorgasbord, which just means great big table full of food. And I don't know what the literal translation is.
That's just awesome.
But I grew up, that's what happens at Christmas time, is I grew up with that at the church. And we called them the basement ladies, maybe? I can't remember what we called them, but the church ladies would get together and make this incredible spread. Mm. Like, the table was probably 20 feet long.
Whoa.
A huge table full of things like fish and soups and all Norwegian. It was very white. There was a lot of white food on that table. But it was really good. And I dressed up like a little Norwegian girl. I had little suspenders and little, you know, red skirt.
The dirndl, kind of?
Dirndl. Kind of dirndl, but Norwegian.
I want to see that picture.
Yeah.
There's one picture in existence of
it. Okay. I would love to see that.
I was 17. You had to be a teenager to do that.
Man.
Because you could.
She's satisfying Britney Spears fantasies in her freaking Norwegian outfit.
You had
outfit.
To be a teenager to wait on the tables. And that's what we did, was wait on the tables. You know? But there was one thing I really, really loved. And it was called Romegrut. And that's Romegrot, I think, with a little hoopla thing over it. And it's basically flour and water and sugar and butter, you know, or milk. It's not water. It's cream. And it's a soup. It's a sweet, savory soup. It's both. It's so good. It's just lovely. Yes, it is. I should make you some because you would like it.
Cool.
It's just real creamy, but it's got a little hint of sweetness to it, and cinnamon. It's really good. And of course we had lutefisk. Which everyone just groans at, because as Lotta was saying, she said people misunderstand lutefisk because they think it smells bad, and really it doesn't. You just have to know it and like it. So that's, you know, kind of the food that we did as Norwegians. We always had on Christmas Eve. We had Christmas Eve great big dinner, then we had church, then we came home and opened presents. Which is very Scandinavian. Mm-hmm. You open your presents on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas night, of course, Santa Claus came. So there were more presents in the morning. and a big fancy breakfast, and then a big fancy dinner in the afternoon. And we always had, you know, 20 or 30 people for every meal because it was such a big family. And grandmas and grandpas. And oh my gosh, it was just heaven. It was magical. And I think I'll be quiet in just a minute, but I want to tell you about going back to Christmas trees, talking about Christmas trees.
Yeah.
My favorite memory, Christmas memory, is that from the time I was a child, my mother was from British Columbia, Canada, and she missed her mountains and her green trees because she was on the prairie. You know, we lived on the prairie. And every Christmas, maybe a week before Christmas, my grandpa would go get a Christmas tree for her from the mountain where they lived. And he would ship it on the train.
Oh my gosh.
And so he put the Christmas tree on the train, and I don't know if we got a letter. I don't remember
maybe
if we got a letter or a phone
telegraph?
Call to, I don't know, to tell us it was, when, which train it was going to come on, what day it was going to come. And it was such a big deal to go. We got dressed up and everything, you know, to go to town because we lived out in the country. You go to town to meet the train and get that tree. And you could smell that tree before it came off the train. And so that was just a really wonderful memory of childhood and that Christmas tree that was so special. And it came all the way from Canada.
Yeah, it was.
Aww.
Yeah, it was sweet. So Christmas to me is a really big deal, and it's taken a lot of beatings in the last few years because, you know, your kids grow up and, and situations change and, you know.
So when do you make krumkake?
Krumkaka?
Krumkaka. That's my favorite.
Is it? Is it?
Cookie.
Well, I have a krumkaka iron.
I have a Norwegian friend who used to make it. Christmas cookies, and I always like that's how I met krumkaka or like tasted krumkaka the first time. And then after that, I told her, Tanya, I want this every year, and you can give me that only. You don't have to give me any other cookies. And then she would always give me extra. It's so delicious.
Do you know what they are, Heidi?
No, I have no idea.
Well, they're kind of vanilla flavored. They're sort of like pizzelles.
Yeah.
But they roll. Yeah, you roll them up. Yeah. And I have a krumkaka iron that belonged to my grandmother.
It's so pretty.
They're very pretty. They have a beautiful design in them. And so you make a batter that's very thin, like a thin pancake batter.
Okay.
And you put it on this iron. Yeah. And the iron turns. You have to turn it and turn it and turn it. And then when they're done, you lift the little lid of the iron up and gently take it out of there and roll it up into a tube.
Okay.
And you can eat it just like that, or you stuff it with chocolate and whipped cream or any. We never did any of that. We just ate the
tube.
That's
how I ate it.
Oh, it's really, it's buttery.
Yeah.
It's butter and sugar.
She always put that into a cone shape.
Oh, you can do that too.
Yeah.
So we never did the cone. We always just did the round, like a, you know, tunnel.
Several years ago, I found a krumkaka, what do you call it? The cooking?
The iron?
The iron cooking at Granny's.
Oh,
and
did you get it?
I bought it. And then it sit in my cabinet for years. I think I just gave it away and
Buy
nothing. I think buy nothing. I gave it away.
Oh, you did?
Like last year or two.
Yeah.
Because I never made it. And I'm like, oh.
I know. I did the same thing with my Abelskiver pan, which Abelskivers are another Norwegian thing, and they're little round donuts, and you have a special pan that you make them in, and you serve them with lingonberries. And I just gave it away not too long ago.
You're like, I can't do this anymore.
I know.
it's too much work.
Yeah. Well, I'm not making promises about krumkaka, but I will think about it.
Well,
I will certainly think about it.
Why don't we take a little breaky poo right now,
okay,
and we'll be right back. Okay.
Thank you, sponsors.
The Voice of Vashon thanks Dental Care of Vashon for its programming support. If you have tooth or gum discomfort, damaged or missing teeth, need crowns or implants, or you're thinking about Invisalign clear aligner therapy, Dr. Mayer and her team offer unmatched quality and compassionate care. Located in Courthouse Square on Vashon Highway. On the web at dentalcareofvashon.com or at 206-457-2744. LS Cedar has earned a reputation for delivering the finest cedar products available. They are selective, friendly, and they understand customers' needs. With a large inventory, LS Cedar supplies custom and specified orders on time, and in-house manufacturing ensures exceptional quality. Located on Vashon Island in the heart of the Puget Sound, LS Cedar delivers top-quality Western red cedar worldwide.
And we are back. Thank you to Ella Cedar, and thank you to Dental Care of Vashon for your underwriting support.
Hello. You're listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon. So I don't know how many of you know this, but my co-host, Celine Demir, is from Turkey. And so Christmas is a kind not new because she's been here a long time, but there was a time when Christmas was very new to you, the holidays. So
about 3 decades ago.
it's been a while. So, you know, I would really love to hear about what Christmas means to you now and how it's different from anything you've ever experienced. Or just tell me a little bit about what your experience was like when you came here and had an American Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned earlier, too, that I just love holidays and I love the lights and decorations. Until about several years ago, I would decorate my house with way too much Christmassy stuff. I toned down a little bit. I've been trying to do this minimalizing thing, you know. But so when I was growing up in Turkey, which is about almost, 4 decades ago, there was no, because it's a Muslim-oriented country, so there was no Christmas.
Right.
So we didn't have Christmas trees. We didn't have Christmas lights. But then, like, when you were to go into the big shopping centers and the big centrums, there would be, like, big, what they called it, a Noel tree.
Oh.
And so there were lights there. But those were usually called, like, New Year tree.
Okay.
It was never been like Christmas. So it was mostly for the New Year. I think it's more, and then most homes didn't have any Christmas trees.
Okay.
At least when I was growing up. Now it's more of a common, and I think a lot of people have it in their homes. But I think they still call it a New Year's tree because they decorated for the New Year. So when I moved to the United States, I was like, the first thing I was like, oh, I want to have a Christmas tree. I want to decorate it with lights and shiny stuff and pretty ornaments. And I have been doing that ever since. So, and I think I did that. My kids like grew up, and 1 year, I was just not in a mood. I don't know what it was. I think it was right around the pandemic or something. Did not want to do it. And then my daughter goes, I'm like, we're not going to have a Christmas tree. We're not going to decorate a Christmas. The girl who never cared about it, every year I made, at least that's what I thought, she was not happy that I wasn't going to have a Christmas tree.
Isn't that nice to know?
I know. I was like, I didn't even know she actually cared, but I guess she did. So we continue. Mm-hmm. We continue. And so in Turkey, the holidays are always how much you clean your house. You and I talked about this.
We did. It's funny because I saw a funny joke the other day that said, the holidays are coming. Make sure you clean your baseboards because that's what everybody's going to be looking at.
Oh my God. I remember how much we cleaned as teenagers, we get to do all the dirty work and we would clean so that, when at the end of Ramadan, 3 days, people would come and visit your home. And then, my aunts and everybody would say, make sure you clean over there because that's where they're going to look at. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
but then there was a lot of food too. Mm-hmm. So, and lots of desserts. That's why I was telling you, you would love it. A lot of syrupy, very sweet desserts. Like baklava was one. Every holiday, almost every home had baklava or what we call it, şeker pare.
And say that again.
It's şeker pare. So when you translate it, it means the sweet little thing.
Oh.
Şeker means sweet. It was semolina bowls or flour bowls that was baked, and then you would drizzle it and soak it in syrup. It's really good. It's really good. My mother makes it really, really nicely. I love hers. And and then they would make either börek, they would make dolma. Different types of dolma.
Yes.
So the green peppers here, they're so big in here. In Turkey, they're like so small.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like almost, they fit into your hand if you make a little fist. Oh. So, and
do they taste the same?
They taste a little bit different. A little bit different because we try to use the regular green peppers in here, and we stuffed it to see how, if it was going to taste. It's not exactly the same. But, so those are small. So it, a lot of people, they, instead of making stuffed grape leaves, they would sometimes, they would stuff those little peppers, and that was really good too.
That's almost a bite-sized thing. Like one or two bites.
Definitely two bites. Yeah, they're not as so big. And my eldest aunt would make the best one. I don't know what it was. I had the recipe. I tried. It didn't turn out the way hers. It's just hers was always so good. So let's see. And then what was really interesting in Turkish holidays is that kids would kiss the hands of the elderly, and then they would get very modest. Very, very modest, like a dollar or two money from their elderly. And that was their little...
In like when you had company come, that's what would happen?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. How cute.
Yeah. So I never cared for that tradition. So we didn't do that when, you know, with our kids. So we took the Christmas, you know, gift giving thing. And so that's what we've been doing. For, let's see, for many, many years... my best friend Crystal, her husband, and my American grandma, we would do the Christmas together, so which was very lovely. So we would gather together, we would cook. Sometimes we would cook prime rib. Sometimes we would cook lamb, but then we would have to do something else because Crystal doesn't eat lamb.
It happens.
It happens. It does. Not everybody loves lamb, but grandma and grandpa did. They loved it. So sometimes we would do, we would have different things. And then, so we would like roast potatoes. Sometimes I would make rice pilaf. Have you ever added roasted orzo or roasted pine nuts into your plain rice?
No, you're the first person who's told me about that. But
my grandma always put that. It adds a wonderful flavor to the rice pilaf. And
so you do that when the rice is finished, right?
No.
Oh, you cook it with it?
You roast. You roast it aside, and then when you're putting all of your stuff into the now we're using rice maker, right?
Right.
So when you put everything in there, and then you put the roasted stuff and mix it so that it's kind of mixed all over, as it cooks, it adds this very lovely aroma. They both do, both roasted orza and roasted pine nuts. It's just this aroma that gets married with the rice. I don't know. It's so good.
That sounds great.
So it good.
Sounds really good.
So sometimes we would do that. Sometimes mashed potatoes, you know, it's very simple and it's always, it's everyone's favorite. My kids are, I always call my kids are so American. They love their mac and cheese. We always had mac and cheese for them too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very Southern.
That's very Southern. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. They love their mac and cheese.
That's great.
Yeah. So, so what we kind of do here for the Christmas time or the New Year is it's always the mesh of all the different cultures that we, you know, we learn from and we kind of adapt whatever we like from, right? So we cook some Turkish food, we cook some American food that we learned, and then I kind of learn other things too that it's kind of fun to add into our little traditions.
Do you have a menu developed yet for this year's Christmas dinner?
We're definitely thinking we're going to do lamb because Crystal and her husband, they've been traveling for Christmas now, so we haven't been doing our Christmas dinner traditions, but we'll definitely do in lamb this year. And our exchange student Ida's sister is going to come and visit us from Germany.
Yes, that'll be really good.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to make spätzle. Did I say
spätzle? Good. That's good.
Yeah. So because that's something that Ida makes with her dad for Christmas. So we're going to make sure that we have that on our Christmas table. And I haven't decided on the other stuff yet. I was thinking of maybe do some very garlicky roasted potatoes.
That's good.
Like
that's always
crispy
good with
outside and soft inside, you know. I was thinking of that. Yeah, those are the only ones. We're doing Christmas cookie baking next Saturday.
Oh, good.
Yes. Ida wanted to bake some cookies. We kind of delayed that. We were doing it for a while. She goes, like, could we bake some cookies? Mm. And I'm like, yes, let's make some bake some cookies.
You know, talking about cookies, can we talk about your savory cookies that you make?
That's on my menu for Saturday to make.
Yeah.
What is it?
So, there's this Turkish in Turkey. When you go to a patisserie, you can buy cookies, either savory or sweet. And there's always that different, and there's, of course, there's more variety for sweets, but there's the savory cookies that I love. And it's the ingredients that you put is the egg white, vinegar, glass, milk, butter, oil, sugar, flour, and baking powder, and salt. And guess what you decorate with, Heidi? Nigella seeds.
Oh.
And sesame seeds.
Oh, the black seeds. Yeah. Beautiful.
Little remember how crunch. Many times I talked about it in the
And Nigella seeds. She just has
I
to
love
have
Nigella
them.
Nigella seeds.
That's so cool.
It has to have it there. And, you know, what's really interesting is it has mahlep in it.
Which is what?
So mahlep is what I learned. I always buy it from a spice stores, but it is ground the inside of the cherry seeds.
Oh, the inside of the pit.
Inside of the pit, it's white and it's grounded, and it adds an incredible fragrance to the cookies.
How do you spell that?
Use it in a sentence.
M A H L A P or L E P. It goes both ways.
Okay. And what are these cookies called?
Do
they have a name?
No. In English, I call them savory cookies.
Okay.
Turkish savory cookies. Uh-huh. Whenever I gave it to people, I would say this is Turkish savory cookies. And in Turkey, they call it Tuzlu kurabiye, which means savory cookies.
Okay.
It's pretty simple.
Okay.
And some people put cayenne pepper in it.
Ooh, little
make
spice.
Spicy.
Yeah.
So, and it's really good that way too.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
How fun is that?
So, do you eat your savory cookies at the same time that other people, like with coffee, or do you have them with a glass of wine, or do you just eat them whenever you want to? Yeah. Well, it sounds really good.
Yeah. I love them. I love them more than the sweet cookies.
Yeah.
But I don't have the sweet teeth.
I know.
The tooth that you
sweet
have.
Sweet teeth.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Savory cookies. So in the bakery in Turkey, what would the spread be? Like 80% sweet and 20% savory, or even less than for savory?
Because I think 20% sounds about right.
Small portion.
But
okay.
They do love...
So there are different kinds of savory cookies.
Yeah,
this is just one example.
Sometimes they add like cheese, like dry cheese in them.
Okay.
Some with spicy and some like with different... drops on
the seeds,
like seeds on them. Poppy. Sometimes they put poppy seeds. Sometimes they put other seeds. I always put
Nigella
seeds and Nigella seeds.
Yeah. You're like, don't be shocked.
We'll share the savory cookie recipe on our Facebook page.
Yes,
right?
We will. Yeah, we should. Perfect. We'll do that.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to try,
so
I think
cool.
Those sound really good. I'd like to try them.
Yeah.
The maleb is really interesting. When I was looking it up, AI says that it imparts a fruity taste and a bit of bitter almond and cherry flavor together. Huh. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, apricots have that same thing.
Do they?
That and the French use the apricot seed. You can crack the apricot seed open and it's got that little white thing inside there. And they roast those and put them in every jar of apricot jam. And it's just the most floral. It just adds something to the jam. And I do that when I make apricot jam now because I learned that. But that little tiny white thing that's inside those ugly pits, really, they're just pits and you crack them open.
Cool.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
So it's the same thing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It adds a very, very beautiful fragrance to the cookies. I love them.
Love it.
Well, we'll have to get some.
Yeah. Oh, I have... Ton. So if you ever want to use it, please let me know.
Okay.
Yes. It would be hard to find it here, but I have so much. I over
She's got secret stashes, I'm sure.
I put it in my freezer so it doesn't go bad. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you ever want it.
Thank you.
Got the hookups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yum. Well, that all just sounds really wonderful. It sounds like, and one more question. Well, I have 10, but how about gift exchanges? Do you do that as well, or are you mostly around the celebration part?
In our family, we started doing a lot more experiences.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh. So, like,
so that's a gift.
Yeah. So it's a gift, but it's more of an experience. Like, my daughter wanted to go to this wrestling tournament, but it was before Christmas, but it was pricey. And we're like, okay, I said, we'll do that, but can you take that as your Christmas gift? You know? And then she goes like, oh, that's the best Christmas gift.
Oh, really?
You know, like, and I have kids that really enjoy the experiences. And at least what we've been trying to do in the past couple of years, and instead of just gifts that we kind of keep buying things, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and that's, I don't know what we're doing for my son yet. So we'll see.
Oh, you'll think of it.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, experiences more. My husband and I don't exchange gifts.
Okay. Wow.
Sometimes we surprise each other, or he'll usually surprise me because I say no exchanging gifts, but but we don't usually.
I know some people who do that. I know a couple of couples who don't exchange gifts with each other. They just don't. And it's just it's just how it is. They have everything else around Christmas, but they find the gift giving to be stressful and expensive.
Yes.
And one thing I told my kids is, you know, they feel obligated to give mom a gift. And I don't feel obligated to receive one. I really don't. And I said to them, if you feel compelled and you must, which I, you know, you can donate to something in my name or you can, you know, do that kind of a thing. But if you feel compelled to give me a thing that I can use up. Like tea or soap or a candle or something that I don't have to put on a shelf somewhere.
That's a great idea, actually.
Most of us really don't need any more stuff.
Yeah.
We really don't. And that kind of kid thing, you know, is fun for the little kids to open presents and have the Santa thing and all of that. But I don't know, as we grow older, it doesn't seem like it's the most important part of the holiday.
I mean, spending a whole day with my son would be like a really wonderful gift for me. And I always tell them, hey, let's have a date. You know, like just you and me, which we did last week. And it was so lovely. Yeah. We, you know, and it's I think it's really, really important to do.
I saw those photos. You guys went to a cool looking Mexican restaurant.
Oh, my God. It was.
It had a tree in the middle of it.
I didn't see the photos.
Oh, it was epic.
I have to look. My gosh. It was the food was just out of this world.
I didn't ever heard of it. I looked it up. I'm like, where is this place? It looks fantastic.
And where is it?
So where's that area? It's like Roanoke and you
Roanoke,
pass.
Roanoke, yeah.
Roanoke. And
it's kind of Capitol Hill.
Is it still considered Capitol Hill?
An extension of it, yeah. A little further south, I think.
Yeah.
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 Really cool.
Yeah. So it was after work and my daughter was going to Billie Eilish concert. So we were going to pick her up. And so we said, okay, let's go have a little dinner date and then celebrate his first job in healthcare.
That's a big
deal.
Yes,
I know. Yeah. That's a wonderful, he's doing so well.
He is.
Well, we had about 10 more things to talk about today, but we're going to save them till next time.
I was going to say, the time went by so fast today.
We just have 1 minute. So.
How did that happen?
I just would like to wish everyone happy holidays.
Have a wonderful
holiday. Oh, boy, somebody's driving by the studio. You can tell we're on
Main Street.
Someone
needs a muffler for Christmas.
A muffler. However you celebrate, or if you don't, I hope you have a warm few weeks, and we will see you again after the new year. We'll see you next year. So in the meantime, happy holidays, everyone. Thank you, Celine. It was wonderful to have you. And Heidi, thank you for your help.
My pleasure.
Always great to have you.
As always.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right, everybody. Stir your pots. Enjoy the season.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.